Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Galatians, the uncorrupted gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 31, a liberating gospel. Greeks, Jews, and Romans had a ceremony which signified the coming of age for a child. For the Jews, it was, and it still is, the bar mitzvah. For the Greeks, it was a festival in which boys were declared men. The Roman ceremony was known as toga virilis, and occurred sometime between a boy's 14th and 17th birthdays. The boy took off the childhood toga and put on the toga virilis, which represented adulthood. Prior to that time, the boy was under the care of a servant. And even though the child was the master's heir, his day-to-day life was not much different than a slave's life. But when the boy reached the right age, status in the household changed from a child to an adult. He enjoyed full adult privileges. This is the image that Paul used in our text for this session, paralleling life under law and grace. So far in his letter to Galatia, Paul spoke about a revealed gospel, not from man, a faith gospel, not of works, and a scriptural gospel, not of the law. Next, the apostle discussed a liberating gospel of grace. Remember that these letters were read as a unit, not in passages as preached or taught today. Don't lose the flow of thought. Paul addressed false teachers using pure logic. The gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed to man by the Holy Spirit as an encounter with God. Reception of the good news is by faith, without any works on our part. In fact, the scriptures of the Old Testament have always taught that the law only reveals how we are sinners, and we can never keep it well enough to be righteous before God. We were saved by grace through faith in Christ. In his argument, which is covered now in our text, the apostle discussed freedom from the law, which comes when we're saved by grace. Let's look at the first part of our passage in Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. The Jews were like minor children, heirs of God, but under the tutor of the law. When the time was right in his plan, God sent His Son to redeem those under the law and make it possible for them to assume full rights as His children. The Gentiles, on the other hand, had been slaves to false gods. The Spirit came into their hearts and made them sons through Christ. They were adopted sons. How could they want to be slaves again? Had Paul wasted his time on them? He begged them to remain free of the law. Look at beginning with verse 12, down at verse 20. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. In Christ, they were free. Paul appealed to their love for him. Maybe that would wake him up. He was with them originally because of a physical problem which kept him there. He was trying to bring them back from error, and he felt like he was bringing them to Christ all over again. It was painful to the apostle. Doubt about them grew. As an argument, Paul used an illustration from sports. Look at verses 21 down to verse 31. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Abraham's two sons were Ishmael by Hagar and Isaac by Sarah. Hagar was a slave. Sarah was a free wife. The son of the slave was born without the help of God. The son of the free woman was born with God's intervention because she was barren and was according to his promise. Hagar's son, Ishmael, could represent the Sinai covenant of the law given through Moses. As such, he also represented Jerusalem of Paul's day when the emphasis was on keeping the law. Sarah's son Isaac represented the covenant of grace through Jesus, and the heavenly Jerusalem, which is above and free and includes all true believers. The covenant of grace through Jesus produced more children by faith than the covenant of law through Moses. Paul also reminded the Galatians that the sons of the slave, the legalistic Jews, were persecuting the sons of the free, the believers in Christ. In the end, Abraham sent out the slave woman and her child so that he could never be heir with the free woman's son. The old covenant has also been cast out. Only the sons of the new covenant of grace have an inheritance with Christ in heaven. Where are you? Have you received Jesus Christ by faith for salvation? Or are you trying to please God by works? You can't do it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We live under grace. We don't live under the law trying to please God. We are received and accepted by God through faith in Jesus Christ by grace. You have a great day.